Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another episode of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. This particular episode was recorded during the 2018 Connecting Soul Beings Summit. This summit contains 28 experts and thought leaders, and we created this event to help conscious, self-aware soul beings and animal lovers to have inspiration and practical guidance on how to feel connected and in alignment, filled with beautiful energy. You can also watch the videos of these episodes on our YouTube channel, which is listed in the show notes. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome to yet another wonderful interview here at the summit Connecting Soul Beings. I am so pleased to introduce to you Amanda Powers from Melbourne, Australia, and her company is called Led Astray. Led Astray started off as a dog walking business, and throughout the years she has been introduced to animal communication. So today we're talking about that, exactly, talking to your animals, talking to your pets. And it is a wonderful conversation around connection, how we can really interact with our animals, and how we can hold the space during dog walks as well. So please enjoy this beautiful conversation. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, tea, water, or even an alcoholic beverage, whatever you fancy, and enjoy the chat. Bye for now. So today we are here with Amanda Powers, the best dressed animal communicator in Australia, and she has a company called Led Astray, and she resides in Melbourne, Victoria. Welcome, Amanda. Nice to have you here.
Bianca. Good to be here.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So I thought we would start off with asking, how did you get into animal communication? Because I know your history, I know your story, and I find it very fascinating, the differences that you've had in terms of your experience. So I'd love for you to share that with the audience.
How did I get into it? I guess I was pretty much being followed everywhere I went by crows, which is pretty much how it started for me. I always had an affinity for dogs, even since I was a little kid, and having had a number of readings and things like that done, it always came up dogs when I was little. And we never had dogs when I was a kid because I was a chronic asthmatic, but I always had an affinity for dogs. So wherever we were, it was all about dogs. My grandfather had a dog, and I've since found out that the dog and I had a real connection. I've been told about that, which I always knew. So there's always been connections there, but I never really knew that I was connecting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I started to, for years, I seemed to be followed, like for years, just followed by crows, like they were screaming at me all the time. And I'd sort of chat to them, but I didn't know how to listen to what they were saying. So literally they'd be, sometimes I'd open my window and there'd be 20, 30 crows sitting outside. And I used to say, I don't know what you want. I'm not quite sure what you're trying to tell me, because I didn't understand how to listen. So I used to chat to them all the time, but didn't understand what they were telling me. And it was the same with a lot of animals. I always spent a lot of time in nature and always, you know, came across things, you know, like black cockatoos would just stop and be staring at me, or just things continuously that I knew that there was something there. And I've always had sort of a spiritual path anyway. I've always been very much in tune with nature and in tune with myself, even when other people weren't sort of into it, none of my friends or anything were into it. I sort of always thought I was just a bit introverted, which I am introverted, but yeah, I always knew there was something else there and I wasn't quite sure what it was.
Yeah.
So I guess I started, going and doing different courses and things and, spirituality things, intuition things, and just trying to, I've always done it. It's always been something I've done for years, since I was in my teens, I guess. But then, yeah, I think it was getting a little bit, losing my passion for fashion. So I spent 30 odd years in the fashion industry, which I loved, but the industry changed and I found I was getting my energy from being out with my dog or with other people's dogs, and started getting into rescue. I rescued a couple of dogs and it started to take over more of my life. I found myself at work in my job looking at rescue dogs and giving money to rescue organisations and trying to figure out how I could help more dogs. And I think it just started to take off from there, and I sort of realised I don't have this passion for what I'm doing anymore. My passion's out there being with animals and being with dogs. And that's when the crows really started to come in. It's like they were following me all the time, and I'm like, okay, I'm being told something here. I need to try and find out what it is. So, yeah, did a couple of courses, and then I eventually tried a couple of animal communicating different animal communicators on different levels, but nothing really resonated with me. And then I found you. So that was when it. It was pretty much when it took off and did the big turn for me.
Yeah.
So. Is pretty much, you know, learning how to listen, which is what you taught me, learning how to listen, which has made all the difference. You know, now I know how to stop and to listen and to hear. For most of my life, I've been talking, but I haven't been listening.
Yes.
So I've got that ability. When I stop and ground myself and I have that ability, then, yeah, it opens up a whole new world. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. So what's the biggest difference that has made in your life?
Well, it's made every difference, because it's completely changed my career now. Now my career, I mean, I took the first step to become a dog walker because I wanted to spend more time hanging out with animals.
And yeah.
I was focusing more on what I already knew intuitively was the body language of the dog. How it reacted to things. But then actually having done the course with you, I then learnt to stop and tune in and to actually listen to the animal rather than going by the cues, by the body language. Still part of it, but I could actually tune in then. And then it just changed everything. It was pretty much... this is what I want to do. I want to be helping animals. I want to be of service now. This is what I've been put here to do, and now I've been pointed in the right direction to do it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just all about being of service and more for rescue animals, because, you know, they're the ones who need it. They've got no voice. The pets or dogs I walk have got a voice. You know, their owners listen to them, whereas rescue animals don't have that voice. So for me, even when they're integrated into somebody's family, to save them from going back, because people give up too easily because they are quite damaged. So they end up getting sent back really quickly, and a lot of them have been in homes 3, 4, 5, 6 times and then are deemed they're not able to be homed. So for me, it's like trying to get people to understand a little bit more about their rescue animal and to actually put that little bit more effort in. And often it just takes that little bit more. That's all it is. And it's just before people are about to give up. It's that one little last thing that you can tell them and say, okay, you might think I'm crazy or you might think this is nuts, but just trust me and just do this. And then let me know. And it's worked. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, okay, well, it's like you told me, you know, you've got to say what you get, so you've got to say it. And even though half the time I think it's crazy, it's like, okay, well, that's the law of this. You need to say it. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that goes with any connection that we have. And in particular, when you work with people and their animals, all the information the animals provide you, it is vital that we communicate that back to the human guardian. You know, it's, we need to know everything that they provide us, because not only for them, and that's usually the focus, we want to help the dogs, we want to help all the animals,
but also for ourselves, because there's, you know, sometimes there is a lot of information that they know about us because they have infinite wisdom that they tap into without any, you know, anything, no preconcepted ideas, nothing. And we have the same connection to that infinite wisdom, but for us, it takes a little bit longer to actually get to that level. And it's really important, but it can be really challenging. I so understand that, because not every person is open to receiving that information.
Yeah. And I do get a lot of the animals obviously pick up that this is a new thing for me, as well as in terms of being able to hear them.
Yeah.
And they will tell me, you know, the things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. So they'll say to me, you know, you need to spend more time doing this, or you need to focus more, or you need to believe in more. So I do get that from a lot of them. So it's probably very different for me being someone who's new to it, as opposed to you. They're not telling you what to do, but they're actually guiding me to tell me you need to do this more, or you need to focus more.
Yes.
So, which is great. So yeah.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, you know, because once you have that connection, you can learn so much yourself through that, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So fascinated by the crows. Do you still have them around you now?
Not as much. I think they were pretty much just the messenger for me. Mm-hmm. I've always had a fascination with crows, even before I realized that any of this was possible.
Yeah.
I've read books about them, and I've got a crow tattoo on my arm. I've just always been obsessed.
Yeah, fantastic.
I just think they're so intelligent, and they're so beautiful. Like, I could just watch them for hours. I mean, I remember being at one of my jobs and going in to see a client in the fashion industry, and he was running late, so I was sitting outside in the car, and I sat and watched three crows with a wheelie bin, a garbage bin.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was on the handle on the top of the lid, flying up. The other one would get something out of the bin and drop it. Another one would come down and then take it up on top of a power pole. And they had this whole system going.
Yeah.
I could have sat there the whole day. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, they are so amazing. And they knew that I was watching them. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to them, but I wasn't. I didn't know how to listen. But it's continuous, you know, things like I'd go for a job interview and a crow landed on the bonnet of my car and just looked at me through the bonnet as I was sitting there. And I knew instantly. I walked into the job interview and I thought, I've got this job. I already knew. It was like I knew the crow came to say to me, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And I went in and I came out and I thought, I've got that job. And I left and spoke to my partner and I said, oh, I've already got it. And they said, how do you know? Did you already get it? I said, oh, no, I already know I've got it. So I already knew. It's like they were communicating with me all the time. Now I do see them, mm-hmm. but it's not as pronounced. It's like they're always in the background somewhere and I'll hear them and I'll always stop and say hello and, you know, communicate. And it's not as pronounced now. It's not as much. Actually starting to get more magpies. So I'm actually getting more magpies around me now. I don't know. It seems to have taken over magpies rather than crows. But yeah, it's always a lot of birds.
Yeah.
A lot of birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, I always know that if I do get a lot of crows, that there's telling me something. So I'll stop if it happens in the morning.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen, or I'd be aware, or something, you know, it's something that I know something will happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also recognizing that, isn't it? To actually be aware, oh, I'm actually being communicated to.
Yeah.
So let's just stop and listen to that.
Yeah.
And
I can walk out of the house, and there'll be one over the road in one of the big trees, and it'll just start going, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm rushing because I'm always rushing. And I don't stop to listen, but I'm like, okay, I know that there's something that's trying to tell me something today. Often I'll go, oh, my God, I haven't got time to stop and listen. And then sometimes I'll go, okay, and I'll just get a feeling and go, okay, thanks. You know, it's a bit of a warning, slow down or whatever. So I do listen especially when they really scream at me.
Yeah.
I'll stop and listen. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's wonderful that you now have that ability as well and actually take the time to be really conscious.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at always taking the time because I'm always rushing, which is really bad. But I'm trying much more to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is probably going to save me time because with me rushing, it's probably something they're going to tell me that's going to make my day easier anyway.
Yes, exactly. That's right. And really being present to that, isn't it?
Yeah. But sometimes you can't, like it's when it's continuous during the day and you're doing things, it's very hard to actually stop and give that time because I've got clients and I've got to go and I try and do it.
So do you see yourself going more into the animal communication at this stage or what are your plans?
That is my wish. That's what I want in my heart more than anything is just to be an animal communicator. Just to be of service, pretty much. That's what I know. That's what I want to put out there. That's my thing. So, I mean, I love doing dog walking and it's fun and the rest of it. But it's also very, I'm getting a bit older now, so it's getting a bit tougher on the body. I mean, I love it because they're all, I'm out in nature every day and that's my thing too. So, yes, that would be my balance, to spend a couple of days maybe walking and spending my time out there. And out there, I mean, where I am in Melbourne, we have so many amazing, half the time you don't even think you're in a city. We're only 5 miles from the city, but you would think that you were not in a city. You can be, it's like you're out in the bush.
Yes.
So, and it's on my doorstep. So I spend a lot of time just down there, and that's what grounds me more than anything is being there. So that's the part of it I love. And just hanging out with dogs being dogs, running in and out of the river and playing and getting muddy and being crazy. I just find myself laughing and just, so that's what connects me. So I still want to do that a couple of days.
Yeah.
To be able to be more focused on helping rescue animals and helping rescue animals is probably the main aim. I mean, a lot of my clients have rescue animals and I've helped them with a lot of them. They've noticed huge differences. So, I think, I've just got to get myself out there and get it noticed to a lot more people because there's so many people out there that don't know that there is a way to help their rescue dog or their rescue cat from actually being sent back because it's being a rat bag and they don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the key, isn't it? It's finding out why they are the way they are and why they do certain things as well. And that's usually the key because once you have that knowledge and the animal's able to express that to you, then that's already half the job done. That can already make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because the animals feel that they don't have that voice, like you said earlier, especially the rescues, because we pick them up, we put them in a shelter, and then they wait to be adopted, but nobody's really looking at what is actually going on for that dog from a mental and energetic level, whereas they probably looked after from a physical level to see if they're ill or there's any damage to the body or anything like that. But that's where it usually ends from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So the work that you do is absolutely amazing, to be able to do that.
Yeah. Because it can be just one tiny little thing. And people just don't see it. They get a dog and bring it into the family and expect that dog to understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But the dog also doesn't know whether it's staying there, whether it's going, so it doesn't connect because it doesn't think it's actually going to stay because all the time it's been to two or three other places, because nobody understands what the dog's needs are.
Yeah.
It's just something so simple, even with, I tell all of my clients, I know they all think I'm just nutty, but I'm just saying, your dog, just trust me, don't even just tell them everything that's going on, and a lot of them will say I have noticed a difference, but they still don't understand or believe really how it works. I'm just like, just humor me, just talk to them, and they all do it now, and they've all said, every single one of them said, there's been a difference.
So, yes, definitely.
being heard.
Yeah, exactly. They're part of the family, you know, and it's it's bringing them into that level of communication as well is really important, because then you can definitely deepen the connection that you have with the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But I find a lot of people these days, because, you know, so many people are getting dogs because, you know, people get dogs for the wrong reasons and spoil these dogs like crazy. And it's just, I found that's one of the main drawbacks, you know, to the dog, because it just doesn't know. You know, it's just this thing that they take everywhere with it, but it's got no boundaries. And, you know, I find that people think they're doing the right thing and don't understand that they're not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And their dog, I want some boundaries. I want someone to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I've found that more than anything. People just don't realize that you don't get a dog and put the dog in charge and let it do whatever it wants. The dog does not want that at all.
No, exactly. And then they become, you know, they develop those behavioral challenges. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, that's what I found too. I mean, 99% of the time when you do talk to animals, and whether it's a dog or a cat or a bird, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It is around the person that lives with the animal.
Yeah.
And boundaries and structure is absolutely one of the key things that they are struggling with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I find that probably 90% of the time.
Yeah.
It's not like I need this or I need a new bed or I need, you know, I mean, whatever. They're more focused on, I want to earn respect. And this, you know, I'm just taken everywhere, and then they just need boundaries.
Yeah.
They like that.
Exactly. Same for children, right? And adults.
But most people don't get that. And when I said, be spoiled or not, and I'm going, but that's the problem. He doesn't want to be spoiled. He wants you to be in charge, and wants to earn respect.
Yes.
And then I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to do. I'm like, but that's a good thing. There's more respect, and then the dog feels safer, and anyway, that's probably one of the main things I find with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they want guidance and they want respect.
Yeah,
especially when people get rescue dogs, I suppose, you know, your heart breaks and you try and give them everything, but it's not necessarily they need 100% love and nothing else. They need guidelines, you know. It's great for love in the beginning, but then you've actually got to give them some structure.
Yeah, so, exactly. Or give them a job to do, you know, give them a role that they have. Purpose.
Absolutely. Purpose. That's what I find most of them want, is purpose.
Yeah.
People don't get that. So even if I just spend the rest of my life telling people that, and that helps so many rescue dogs to stay in the home that they're in, then that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if that's what I'm supposed to do, is just educate people on that. And then the dogs or the cats or whatever will tell me whatever else in that process. But I just would rather get all those dogs that actually get into homes to stay in those homes, because you know, people want to give them a home, but then they give up far too easily when the dog has issues.
Yes.
The dog really doesn't have that many issues. It's just you need to listen and listen to the cues.
Yeah. So how would you suggest people can actually listen to dogs?
Well, I just tell them to start talking first.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they don't understand, like they might, you can teach people basic dog behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, they'll pick up off the cues of body language, but they won't get much further than that, much further than the body language. So I just say start talking, and then the dog's behavior actually starts to adjust, because the dog thinks, you know, oh, they actually are listening to me. Or I just say, tell them Amanda said that you've spoken to me. You know, Amanda told me to tell you this, and they're like, okay, well, we know she can hear us, so she's obviously talking to them.
Yeah.
So I tell them that Amanda said, I often think that they just think I'm crazy, but I say, just let me know in the next couple of weeks whether there's been a difference.
Mm.
Mm. Single one of them has said yes. because the dog feels like, okay, well, even if they don't understand what I'm saying, it's coming from a third party and they're now listening to me. They're telling me that, you know, this is what's happening. We're going away on holidays. And the dog's like, oh, I didn't know that you were going away on holidays. As in Trev, you know, when the owner, the rescue dog who's had been to a number of different houses and was acting very strangely, and the owners, every time they went away, came home to a dog that was just so far, had gone, regressed so much further after they came home, and they'd have to put in all the work again. And I say to them, you know, you need to tell him that you're going on holidays. Tell him in 2 weeks, tell him by the moon, tell him this is exactly what's going to happen. Amanda was walking you, blah, blah is staying here. Everything is going to stay the same. We'll be away for this amount of time, then we'll be back. And they actually said to me, we came back to exactly the same dog for the first time in like 8 years. We came home to the exact.
That's amazing.
And he is so much better now. He was very, very dog reactive. And I, you know, they said he's a completely different dog now. He certainly doesn't react to other dogs, or if he does, he'll look to them or look to me straight away when I'm walking him. And, you know, he's like, I'm a good boy. Can I have a treat? I'm not going to react. I'm like, great, you're not going to react? Yeah, you can have a treat. So changed his behavior because they talk to him. They tell him everything now.
Yeah.
They tell him everything. And they said he's so much calmer. You know, he's a Kelpie, so he'd spent a lot of time, you know, running, jumping, wrecking things, escaping. Just, you
know, he'd been through true so Kelpie many, behaviors.
Yeah, but he'd been through so many times because no one was listening to him. No one was telling him what was going on. So he thought he had to go and find it out for himself. Whereas now, he's probably one of my favourite dogs, you know.
Oh, beautiful.
I always knew from the very first time I met him that I'd have a connection with him, and we absolutely did. So, but, yeah, it's just getting them to talk to the dog is the first step, even if they think they're crazy and this dog's not really understanding anything I say. When they see it in less than a week, then they go, okay, I don't know how it works, but they seem to be changing. So, so I think it just starts with them talking. Pretty much.
Exactly.
And then if they're willing to implement, then when they see a difference, they'll often, and I've been doing it for clients anyway before I actually started. So once they've seen the difference, then I will then say to them, okay, now I've had a conversation with Trev and he's asked me to tell you this. And they'll be like, oh, okay. Again, not quite sure if I'm the crazy dog lady, but then implementing it and then going, okay, there's something in this because the difference is really obvious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then they're more open to it, so which has been great. And it's changed a number of those dogs' lives for the better. Some people won't take it on, and there's a lot of dogs that I go and walk and people won't take it on, so I'll just communicate with the dog myself. Mm-hmm. And just say to them, I will subtly try and change things for you. Or, you know, if I have to tell people practical things, then I will do it in a practical way, but in a way that I'm still helping the animal and letting the animal know, well, I know what you're saying, but I'll try and put it in a practical way so they don't think that, you know, that's the way. We'll just be a little bit more clever about how we do it.
Exactly.
It's still to get it across so this dog isn't going to go anywhere else.
No, and how has it improved the relationship that you have with your dog?
Well, yeah, it probably hasn't improved that, to be honest. He's become a little bugger because I'm spending too much time with other dogs.
Beautiful, Lenny.
I won't say that totally. He has made a huge difference to my dog walking business in that I have made him, we're in this together. This is Lenny and Amanda, led astray. We're in this together. So this is your part. He doesn't necessarily always like his part. He'll definitely let me know if he hasn't liked his part. As in the last 2 weeks, I've had a dog, aggressive dog staying here who's not good with people or dogs. And his part was you have to stay home with her because he gets along with her.
Yeah.
He's one of the other dogs that does. So you have to stay home pretty much in the house because she's also cat aggressive and there's cats around here. So pretty much had to be locked in the house with her for 2 weeks. Well, he let me know in this last week since she's been gone how much he liked that part of the job. He was not happy.
No.
So it's been an absolute little bugger for the first time, first couple of times we've gone out. No, I'm not going to come back when you call me. I'm going to let you know what I think about what we just did. Mm-hmm. So I sat down and had a chat to him and said, you know, sometimes you're not going to like the bits of the job that you have to do, but we have to earn a living. I have to be able to feed you and to feed myself, and to do that, this is a part of the job.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry, and I'll try and limit that as much as I can because I know you don't like it, but it is part of the job and sometimes you've got to suck it up. So, yeah.
And did he?
Not yet. And I have got another dog here at the moment who is, she's got a bit of dementia. But he's amazing with the way, like he's actually made it so much more comfortable for dogs, especially when I start taking on a new dog. Such a calm influence with dogs, and he's great with every dog, big, small. He's great with them, puppies, old dogs. You know, if he doesn't like them specifically, he'll stay away or just let them know that, you know, not really my favorite. With puppies, he lets them know, you know, he gives them guidelines. And so many of my clients who I've taken on their puppies have actually said, oh my God, we've noticed there's such a difference since you've been taking the dog out. And most of that, I've got to say, is down to Lenny.
Yeah.
You know, because he sort of teaches them as he's going around. So,
yes.
Huge part of my business, and I thank him every day for his part in it. And I know it's quite overwhelming for him as well sometimes. You've got puppies jumping in your face nonstop all day. It's not great, but he tolerates it all, and he teaches them, and he's just calm. So I think that's what it is. He's very calm.
Yeah, he is too. Yeah. And with your dog walking as well, I mean, I heard so many dog walkers tell me that it is such a challenge to get the right dogs together in a pack to actually go walking for that trip. How has animal communication helped you with that?
I guess I just sort of know the dog. I guess I know the dog, and I'll communicate with the dog before. Like I always tell all the dogs. So if I pick up a new dog and I'm going to the van and I've got three dogs in, I will always introduce them outside of the van first. So I always make sure I let them know we've got a new dog. You know, I tell them a little bit about the dog before the dog gets in the van. I tell the dog that I'm putting in the van, who's going to be in the van, that they met them the other day. So I'm constantly communicating with them, you know, and if they're a little bit apprehensive, I'll say, okay, I will put you in the front of the van. If you're still not comfortable, you can go in the front and the other dogs can go in the back. Then when we get to the park, I will then let them interact in their own time. And then afterwards I check in with them. Do you feel okay to go into the back of the van? Yeah. Okay, now I'm fine to go in now. So it's a constant shuffling as well. I sort of know the personalities, but then if I'm unsure, I will check in with them and ask them how they feel about that dog, or, you know, or I'm constantly, like, I do certain things with them as well. Like I've got a dog who is a bit of a bully and will pick on some of the other dogs. And so I communicate to him that, you know, I do it to him. I tell him, this is what I'm going to do to you. So how do you like it? And then he'll say, I don't really like it at all. I'm like, so that's exactly what you're doing to the other dog. So I think because I know that they understand what I'm saying and I can hear what they're saying back now, it's just made it so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, I know myself, if I'm not having a good day and I'm giving off a bad energy, I'm well aware at the end of the day when those dogs have played up, it was me, it wasn't them. So I'm a lot more aware of my own energy and my own frequency before I actually get into the van. Because I can get, if I get up and I am not emitting a really good energy, I will have a really shit day and every single one of those dogs will park up. So it comes very much to me starting properly in the morning. So otherwise it's going to be a roller coaster, and in the end I apologize to them for my energy and I say to them, it's not your fault, I know I've this is me today. Sometimes it will be them and I'll tell them it's them. But a lot of the time I know that they're picking up 100% on my energy.
Yeah.
Or what happened at home, something's happened at home, I'll communicate with them that, okay, you know, something's gone on at home and they're not having a good day. So I'll give them a little bit more space, or make the other dogs give them a little bit more space. But I'm communicating to them nonstop all day, every day, all of them.
Yeah, so yeah.
I get in the van, we go for a walk, and it's just constantly talking.
Mm.
I realize half the time that I'm doing it. But yeah. I'm talking to them all the time like I talk to you.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and because they're taking that all in, I'll tell them I'm having a really shitty day today and I'm really sorry. But so then they're aware before they even get in the van. Let's steer clear of her. Let's stick with Lenny today. So,
Yeah. And has that also helped to, before you even get the dogs together, to actually bring the personalities together?
Yeah.
So that you have a better experience and they have a better experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The personalities, I've picked, you know, and some people think you take out a bunch of little dogs together, or you take out a bunch of big dogs together. It doesn't work that way for me. So people go, oh, so I take out a little Italian greyhound puppy, and her favorite dog is he's probably a wolfhound cross Alsatian something. Mm-hmm. And they look like chalk and cheese, but they're the best of friends.
Yeah.
And they have a similar personality. So it's, I guess to people who don't understand or can't communicate, they figure you take out big dogs and you take out little dogs, and that's and even when you go to parks and there's segregation like that, it's not, people don't necessarily understand dog personalities are all different. It's not, got nothing to do with their size. It's a personality just like people, you know. Yeah. And that was one thing that Lenny has taught people. I always call it doggy racism with his breed, being a bully breed, being an American Staffy. I've taught so many people, I don't tell people what he is to start with until they get his personality and they go, oh my God, he's so beautiful.
Yes.
And then I tell them what he is. And they're like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah, it's doggy racism. What, you know, people are just, you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
No.
Look,
no.
He's more sooky than that little chihuahua that's biting its owner over there. So it's a personality, and we all come in a different body.
Yes.
So just because he came in that body doesn't mean he's, you know, he's a big, rough, tough dog. It's often the opposite. So
that's right. But that's what the public puts out there, right? That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's their energy, it's not his. So but I do find too that people's energy can affect the animal as well. Like when I put a muzzle on a dog that is deemed, because of the way that it looks, I have to put a muzzle on a few dogs, not because for their own safety, because they're frightened of other dogs or whatever, but they're actually quite gentle dogs. But people automatically will cross the road, or so their energy is coming at this dog before the dogs even reach them. So that also has quite an impact on them, and I have to actually tell them that, you know, I just constantly reassuring them that, you know, it's the mask is for their own safety, and, you know, some people perceive it as quite frightening, but they're not frightened of you, they're just frightened of the mask. And you know, and I'll tell people will ask, and I'll say, she's really friendly, she's just frightened, and this is for her own safety. And then that makes her feel better too, because I'm communicating it to other people, and then people's energy changes instantly when they realize she's not going to bite you, she's just, this is her protection. So yeah, those sorts of things really affect them, and people's energies that are, when we're walking, other people's energies are affecting them as well, and they don't understand why people are avoiding them, or people are crossing the street, or, you know, people give off an angry or scared energy when they come near them.
Yeah.
And of course that reinforces something that really shouldn't be reinforced. So it's constantly, I'm telling them, you know, that, you know, explaining to them pretty much.
Yeah.
And then they feel better, and you can actually just see the difference in them as well. So the tail comes out from underneath them, and, you know, and they'll feel a little bit more, they'll pump themselves up a little bit more, that know that those energies, so they don't have to take it on. So
that's right. So what can we do as human beings to to have the energy around us that actually is of benefit to both the dog and ourselves and any other animal for that matter. Like you mentioned earlier that sometimes you may have a bad day and therefore your energy has an impact on what the dogs are experiencing during the walk and during you interacting with them. So what can we do to change that, to raise our vibration, to raise our energy?
What I do is, and it's not always possible if it's, you know, because I am always out in nature, I will try and stop. And even if I can't take my shoes and socks off and put my feet on the grass for 5 minutes, I will sit down on a rock or I'll put my hands on the ground or I'll put my hands on a tree and just breathe, take in the energy, feel it, you know, ground me and bring me down again. Mm. And then I start to emit a better frequency. And then I'll tell the dogs as well. They pick it up anyway, you know. Yep. Or even taking a few deep breaths, just stop and take a few deep breaths into yourself and your energy automatically changes and you'll find your it's the same for kids, I guess. I say to my brother with his toddler, you know, same thing, just stop, take a breath, walk away. It works in the same way. Your energy field changes and animals pick up before it's even happened. It's like when people say, I can't get my dog to come back to me. And, you know, well, it's common sense. You're furious. So, I mean, that's one that I've learned. But you can't fool them either. If your energy is bad, you cannot fool that dog into coming back. You have to stop and take that 5 minutes and change your energy.
Yes, definitely.
Otherwise, they're not coming near you. No matter how much you go, oh, come on, I'll give you a treat. It's not going to work.
No.
So, yes, I've absolutely learned that one and told a lot of people that one as well. So it's just grounding yourself, whether you find it in nature or you find it in just taking a few deep breaths, it's just grounding yourself, because the energy, all we are is energy anyway. So, and animals are so in tune with our energy rather than anything else. So.
Yeah, exactly. And for yourself as well, I mean, because you also want to have the best experience every day, right? So, you know, it's not just for the animals to make sure that our energies are in the right place. But for ourselves, it's also really important to have the energies where we want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that, for me personally, that's a big focus every single morning when I wake up. It's really tuning into myself. Where am I at? How does my body feel? Where's my energy level? How can I make sure that that's at a level where I want it to be today? Yeah. So what can I do to achieve that? And, yeah, that could be meditation. It could, for me as well, I love hugging trees. You know, and just touching them, or just stand on the grass and just breathe in that beautiful nature air, that helps me as well. But sometimes it's just holding a crystal or putting on an aroma oil, you know, or have a cup of tea. It could be as simple as that. That can elevate you. It can lift you up. And at the same time, it grounds you as well.
Yeah.
You know, wearing red, for example, those sorts of things, you know, and that can even help.
It's just knowing how to give yourself joy, and then it's going to give that frequency's heading out then once you feel that energy yourself. Like I say, it might just be getting to the place to get a good coffee, and then you literally find your body go, oh, my God, and then that energy's changed. So it's, you know, you can't always put your feet on the ground and you know, take my shoes and socks off in the pouring rain and, you know, five dogs running around. Sometimes that's not going to happen. So it is leaning in the tree or putting my hands in the tree.
Excuse me.
Or stopping and going, no, go and get a coffee, sit in the car for 5 minutes, enjoy the coffee. My energy changes. So, you know, and I find even if I do so, if I'm rushing and I stop and have that coffee and the dogs are all awake, because, you know, half the time the dogs are all in the car, and I'll go, just give me 10 seconds because I explain everything to them. Just going to get a coffee, having a really rushed morning. Once I have the coffee, we'll be all good to go.
Yeah.
And they'd all literally sit there and look at me and wait until I've had my coffee. And then they're like, okay. Now she's good to go. So it's like, okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for letting me get the coffee. Now we're good to go.
Yeah.
So it is. I know they know it's going to make me a nicer person to be at the park.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, we've got to give her 5 minutes. Okay, we'll give her 5 minutes. So it is. It's just constantly explaining things and constantly raising your own vibration. And
beautiful.
In the morning. And do the things that I know are going to ground me, then the day is always much, much better.
Yeah, awesome. That's so wonderful. That's a great point to finish off at. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for sharing your story and the experiences. And I'm sure that, you know, the viewers and listeners have a lot of value out of that, because I really feel that your energy in particular and what you've experienced can resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating that everything is the way it is and that we both have similarities in that sense as well. And I'm sure a lot of other people find that too. So thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback, as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancaderose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.